Oh, wow. We're just slowing things down a little bit here. Okay. Okay, Drew. 11 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Just calm down, Drew says.
Oh, big one. Let me ask you, do you have the wedding ring on today? Thinking of love life. And
you don't do it. It's what, 5 days in a row?
Did you lose the ring? Did you lose it?
Yeah, let's be honest.
I don't know exactly where it is.
Finally.
But I've got
it's been a week.
You said you had two of them.
Hang on. I have the silicone one. I think you're just not noticing this. This has been going on for at least a month now.
But you told me you always wear it.
You lost the ring, man.
This has been going on for a month now.
You
lost it. Does she know you lost it?
Yes.
Did you have insurance on it?
No.
Then why weren't you just honest to say, Jay, I've lost it?
The good thing, though, is that, look, if you...
Maybe you should tattoo it like Kramer's doing.
When you get...
All right, just fade this music.
when you get... when you get married, either of you, the next time you got... Bink, if you...
I love how you just said the next time you get married.
Bink, the next time you get married, if you do. Gold, when you get married, go to manlybands.com,
yeah.
I think is what it is.
Manly what?
Manly Bands. I told this to Kramer. It's like $250. You got a titanium one and a silicone one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's pretty clutch.
So you're going to have to get a new one is what you're saying.
Yes, I didn't have insurance. I don't know if they offer insurance.
Does she know you lost it until the show? Because clearly we've been talking about it.
No, she doesn't listen to the show very often. I would say no.
I don't blame her,
again, it's been over a month now that this has happened. It's just now being realized.
Why weren't you honest with this? Say, guys, I lost it. You didn't say that. You said, I'll have it tomorrow. Why did you say, guys, I lost it?
Because he wanted to keep you guessing, you
know,
I think, a little bit,
you know what,
too.
Bank? I'm doing this on purpose now where I'm not... Even when I do get one back in, I'm not going to wear it just for the sake of
Drew's a single guy, man. Drew's a single guy.
That's not true.
Right? Appears that way.
Textline actually liked the music choice, Drew. Just kind of, you know, just different mood, different vibe all of a sudden.
It was 70s porn music.
Coming up in about 70s.
It was close to the What's Your Fantasy bed.
Close. Not nearly. It was just some jazz a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Coming up in about 17 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. But when I walked in, I've said this a few times. When I walked in today, Bink, I'll set my backpack down, get my laptop out, and like there'll be a second I'll just get set up before like we start having like a conversation. Then Drew shows up, we go and we have our meeting and everything. And Bink, I'm sitting down for 30 seconds. And you said, did you hear what so-and-so said? And just start, dude, you were just going on a rant. I hadn't been in the building for 30 seconds. It was crazy. And it was all because.
You're like, how are you? And I told you.
Yes, there is a podcast called Check the Mic with Steve Palazzolo and Sam Monson. We've had Steve Palazzolo on the show. He used to be with Pro Football Focus. He's now with, I think it's like the CTM show, which is this whole thing. Anyway, they were talking about ESPN, who did their all quarter century team, which is all quarterback century team, right? And there were some comments said there that got you upset. Let me just play you a snippet.
25% through it.
Mm-hmm.
The century.
If my computer lets me play it.
I think when you're talking, there's a difference between like who is better, who is more talented, who is, you know,
don't talented. Say talented, don't say, don't say talented, no, shut up. Don't say talented.
There's a difference between like who has a greater degree of ability or ceiling or whatever, and who has had a greater impact over this century, which is 25 years old, but we're only going to count 5 years for one guy. Like Rodgers has had a greater impact on the 21st century NFL than Mahomes has, I would say. In part because he's played for the majority of it and had it, like he's been won a Super Bowl, you know, multiple time MVP as well. Like Mahomes had incredible impact already in just a few short years.
See, but I think it's
those few
I
short years are so small compared with Rodgers.
I think it's fine to focus on a player's best 7 or 8 seasons as the main criteria because then it's like, okay, just because Aaron Rodgers was born earlier, he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how these things work. I mean, Larry Allen doesn't make the team because he was born 5 years too soon and half of his career happened in the 90s. Like, that's just the reality of it.
So that was Sam Monson.
Which, here's the thing. I respect, like, Sam's work. This isn't just somebody out there throwing. This isn't just some random guy on there. I respect his work and what he's done to this point. And now I question everything I ever hear out of that, because this is the most asinine argument I've ever heard. And I don't care that Aaron Rodgers has started more than Mahomes. I'll just say this. There has been two dynasties in the National Football League this century. One is the New England Patriots, which Tom Brady's number one on there, and number two is the Kansas City Chiefs. That is a fact. That's not even an argument. It's a hell of a lot more than what Aaron Rodgers accomplished in Green Bay. All right? Has he won four MVPs? He has. But if you look at this, Aaron Rodgers didn't go to seven straight championship games. He didn't go to five Super Bowls. He doesn't have three Super Bowl rings. Mahomes does. Mahomes been to five. He's been the AFC title game every year of his career. Not only that, Aaron Rodgers has 12 postseason wins in this big 20-year history, right? Mahomes has 17 playoff wins already. That is number two all-time, only behind Tom Brady. So, yes, Mahomes has meant more to the NFL than Aaron Rodgers at this point. It doesn't matter if it's Aaron Rodgers. It could be any quarterback we're throwing out here. Peyton Manning, whatever. Mahomes has won more championships. Fact. Been to more AFC title games. Fact. He has changed the game. Because now, guys, when you hear now through the draft process, this guy's got a little Mahomes in him. Now Mahomes is that guy. But they say, I think this guy can do some things Patrick does. But he has made an influence. Heck, the Nebraska quarterback, Arola, has a haircut like Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, he does.
But he did a lot with less, too. And I know we looked at Aaron Rodgers. Some of his offenses weren't great. But I look at this team. They won 15 games. They didn't have Hollywood Brown for the whole season almost, except for the very end of it. Rashee Rice gets hurt in game three. They still make it to the Super Bowl. That is leadership, and that is carrying your football team forward. So, again, if we're making the argument and you say, who's got more rings? Well, that's Mahomes. Who's been to more title games? That's Mahomes. If you say, who's won more playoff games? That's Mahomes, 17-12. In almost every category, it's Patrick Mahomes except for total MVPs, in which Patrick's got two of them, and he'll clearly get four.
If it was tennis, then you would be right. If it was tennis or golf, you would be right. But it's a team game. So I think that's where you can't say QB wins is what puts Mahomes over the top.
Name me the dynasties in the National Football League. Name me the dynasties in the National Football League. No, we're doing the century, all right? 2000. No. Name me the dynasties in the NFL. Name them.
The Patriots and the Chiefs.
Okay. Yeah, who are their quarterbacks?
I understand.
Brady and Mahomes.
But again,
that is your one and two. You just answered your own question.
No, they're a dynasty.
I don't care if he played 5 years, 10 years, 15 years.
No.
What he's done in those years is insanity, and nobody can match it except for Tom Brady.
If we're talking about quarterback play, this is what we're talking. We're not talking about team play. We're not talking about runs. We're not talking about wins. We're talking about quarterback play. Tom Brady is not a top two quarterback this century in terms of play on the field. He might not even be top three, Bink.
Oh, did you see that?
Tom Brady
might not be top three with some of the yardage and touchdowns he was putting up after 40 years old.
I could tell you, right, I think Mahomes is as a better quarterback. In terms of quarterback play, Patrick Mahomes is better. Peyton Manning is better. Aaron Rodgers is better. You could almost argue that Drew Brees is a better quarterback.
This isn't about Aaron Rodgers. It could be any quarterback. I'm just saying, to not have Brady and Mahomes as one and two is asinine and shows lack of football.
Yeah, so overall, so a couple things. One, I don't think it's as outrageous as you do. I'm not saying I agree with Sam Munson's take. I also am with you that whether it's 20 years of Rodgers versus 9 years of Mahomes or whatever, that should not be the criteria, because Mahomes has done plenty and more, in fact, during his time. So I don't disagree with your overall point. I also don't think it's like this craziest. Like I've seen comments on the post as well. I don't think Sam Munson's take about Rodgers is actually as crazy as you think it is, though. I think there is an argument to be made there, and he tried to do that.
I don't see an argument.
I hear you. But at the same time,
every year the guy's been a starter, he's been the AFC title game or Super Bowl.
100%.
No other quarterback can say that.
100%. But again, remember, the conversation they were having is the influence, not who is the better, who accomplished more. That's not their argument, though.
The influence
though,
on the game of football with Patrick Mahomes is higher than anybody else.
I understand, but there were times, if we're doing that, Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers, some of the things that Mahomes does, those guys were doing before Patrick Mahomes. You would agree with that from a true, like, throwing aspect?
A lot of them was highlighted, but no looks and stuff like that. Both of them,
like, right? Okay, but I don't disagree. I'm with you for the most part of the take. You're acting like it's the worst take you've ever seen from this guy, I don't think it is as crazy.
I also think
this will be like. But one thing I don't get that actually annoys me more than anything with this entire thing is for 2 to 3 months in the summertime, we have this kind of crap, that does come and try to discredit Mahomes in a certain way. And it's very weird. I guess this is how LeBron fans have felt for the last decade, sure. probably. Every, you know, in their case, it's September, October in the offseason, August, September, October, whatever, of the NBA offseason. This trying to knock down somebody and discredit what Mahomes has done stuff, that is weird. It happens every single summer. I guess that's what happens when you're viewed as the best and no matter what sport you're in. But yeah, I don't think it's a completely asinine take on his part. I disagree with it. I think this will also be a take that if we were to fast forward when Mahomes has played 15 or 20 years in the career, then it won't even have any part to discuss with anybody.
I agree with you because I think we do recency bias a lot when it comes to sports argument. What have you done lately? But the one thing is, if you look at the quarter century, the last 25 years, you have to bring up Mahomes. That's the story of the NFL. The Chiefs' ratings are through the roof. 2 years ago, 93 of the top 100 television programs yes. were NFL games. 15 of those games were Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs were the first ever playoff game on Peacock, the first ever game on Thursday Night Football on Amazon, and the first ever football game on Netflix. All that stuff is because of what? Patrick Mahomes' influence on the game. He has changed the game. Now draft picks are being compared.
That's where we get the split, everything else.
Listen, if Mahomes is just Josh Allen or whatever and winning games and winning awards like MVPs, that's the argument there. I'm just saying this guy wins. This guy, every year he's been a starter.
Nobody's debating if he wins.
And we're almost to a decade of him starting.
You know who also wins?
He's got 17 playoff wins. That's the name of the game is winning in the postseason, you know who wins, which this Bink? Dude does.
So Brock Purdy is better than Aaron Rodgers. It's because you know who wins? Brock Purdy wins, Bink.
Brock Purdy does not have a ring. Rodgers does.
I think that Caleb Williams was compared to Patrick Mahomes, but people asked Caleb Williams who he looked up to. He said Aaron Rodgers. As far as I'm concerned, when Sam Munson says influence is there, that can be backed up by Caleb Williams saying, I love Aaron Rodgers. I tailor my game after Aaron Rodgers. That means something in terms of influence. I think it has to.
Well, Caleb was talking a lot of trash because people were saying Mahomes and all this. So he was like, backing off that.
So now it doesn't matter because he was talking trash.
I'm just saying, Drew, it's hard to make an argument if you look and say, all right, 25 years into the century, some guy's gone to 7 title games in the century. Somebody's been to 5 Super Bowls. Somebody's won 3 of them and the MVP of all those games. Somebody has 17 postseason wins, number two all time in the NFL. The argument's over.
The conversation is not who's the better quarterback over the last 25 years. I guess that's the point. That's not the question. Who would you rather have as your quarterback to start one game? That's not the same conversation. Obviously, Mahomes would be the answer, not Aaron Rodgers.
I think his influence on the game of football is even more to this point.
Yes, I would agree with you, as I said, but you're acting like that Rodgers is miles and miles different on this.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, as of right now, it's Brady and it's Mahomes.
I think the 75 brings up a good point.
I don't care what other quarterbacks you throw out there. I don't care if it's Manning or anybody. It's Brady and Mahomes.
785 brings up a good point. Michael Vick might have changed the game as much as Patrick Mahomes has. If we're being honest, in terms of dual threat quarterbacks, Mike Vick is up. Mike Vick has been more influential to the game in terms of changing it than Tom Brady has. In terms of dual threat ability and the way that we see quarterbacks now, Mike Vick is in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to do those comps, to Bink's point a little bit, then like Mahomes is the Steph Curry of the NFL, though, in terms of he changed the game and how he plays, right?
That's
a comp that people have used plenty when we're talking about cross-sport comparisons.
Sure, yeah. I don't have a problem with that being said, but I don't think we can act like. Do you think Tom Brady is deserving of being in this conversation?
100%.
He was number one, by the way, on ESPN's All Century. Understandably so.
That's insane.
Dynasties, it's been Brady and it's been Mahomes. Brady did the mic drop. It was, okay, what do you do when you separate Brady and Belichick? One team went in the crap hole and one won a Super Bowl. The one that won the Super Bowl was Brady. That's the difference.
I think we're mixing influence with just who's the better quarterback or who accomplished more.
In the grand scheme of things, I look at that. This team that was starving for quarterbacks, a team that hadn't gotten to the Super Bowl since the late 60s, early in 1970. And all of a sudden, a team that hadn't won a playoff game in 21 years, they draft Mahomes, and all of a sudden, he's second all-time in playoff wins. Yeah. That is insanity for a team that hasn't won 21 years.
We'll get back to this later. I knew this was gonna. I knew if we wouldn't have, Bink would have. You would have kept talking for 25 more minutes about this. We'll get back to
Well,
it later.
Drew and I talked for half an hour on college football last night.
I know you did.
We could have probably done more.
We'll get back to this. We'll get back to this, I promise. We're also about 5 minutes away from the trash of the day. But we were joking about the NBA draft in Rutgers for a second, just based on them having probably two of the top five picks, but yet they won 15. That's right. That's right. Pete Thamel reported, though, that college basketball could have tournament expansion by the middle of August. That decision from the NCAA could happen by then. It points out, though, that it would be no more than 76. So we're finally, it's going to happen. It seems inevitable at this point in time. I don't know why we had to wait till middle of August, but whatever. It doesn't really matter, I guess. No more than 76. I was happy to see that they're not trying to take the massive leap, even though I think eventually we're going to end up with like 92 teams in this field. I just don't get it. It's not better for the sport. We know the entire sport is around the tournament. That's what most people watch, because in the regular season, college basketball can be brutal to watch these days. Although I think their coaches challenge thing should hopefully help the final 2 minutes of the game not drag on for a half hour. Hopefully in the next year or so, they approve the switch to go to quarters away from halves, which would also cut down on the foul situation and the constant free throws in the final 5 minutes of college basketball games. But this does not make the tournament better. Expanding it to 76, if that's the number they choose, does not make it better, because truly, I know we were joking about Rutgers as the example, but I do not need the 12th best team in a conference of 16 or 18 or whatever of the Big Ten. I don't need the 11th best team. They're not going to just add more mid-majors that lead to the upsets that we want in the first or second game of the NCAA tournament. So I know they're going to do this. I don't like it. I've yet to hear like a truly strong argument other than money that why this makes the tournament better.
It doesn't. And I know we look at football, and I know we'll be hypocritical here because we want the football playoff to expand to 16. But that's a good number. You don't go past that. There's the difference between expanding and expanding too much. Also, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I always think the NCAA tournament is just fine where it is. You don't need to keep expanding, because you're right. You do water it down, although someone could come in with the argument, well, other teams are better with name, image, and likeness, and they can, you know, rise up and be better. Yeah, I can make that argument, but also say when a team makes a run, if you score 20 points a game in the MAC, you're playing the Big Ten the next year. I mean, that's how it works. You can't have sustained success. Like in the past, when you see North Dakota be a good basketball team because they have guys that have played together for four straight years, right? Well, now you don't see that anymore, because now guys will score 20 points a game and they join another conference. That's just the way things are now. And they get that money.
And Gold, I think you're right about it, where if you're going to reward mediocrity, which in all likelihood, this is what it's going to do, because, you know, the teams like Rutgers that win 17 games, or Nebraska that won 16 games, you know, or these other ones who are on the bubble that are bigger schools, like North Carolina was in that conversation. They, of course, got in. But if you're going to reward the mediocrity of these bigger conferences, then it doesn't need to expand. Where if you're going to include Boise State or Drake, then maybe I think we can fall in love with that conversation a little bit more than what we currently have. But we know that that's not going to be that way. We know it'll be for the Power Four schools that happen to be 500 and really don't belong in the tournament.
Well, you
anyways,
don't want to hurt the regular season, but college basketball regular season's already hurt.
It doesn't matter to most people anymore.
And
the
college
regular
football
season.
Regular season does matter, and they've been able to keep the integrity of the regular season.
The season starts
all having
in March,
the expanded
the
playoffs.
Yeah, most people don't care about the January, you know, 20th random.
No, it's NFL playoffs.
You know what I mean? Time. Like, yeah, it's absolutely NFL time. And a lot of it, though, is that the product, because of we already highlighted the final 2 minutes and these reviews and the referees staring at a monitor for 20 minutes is obviously not something anybody wants to see. Now, in this report, it says that 76 is the more likely expansion option than 72. So it looks like the 76 is going to end up being the number. They last expanded the big jump expansion, I guess, was in 85.
It's too much. But we see so much expansion. I mean, it's Drew last night when we were doing the podcast, this podcast, you know, Division I's already up to 136 teams, right? I mean, teams just keep joining and jumping. For example, when Mahomes was drafted, there was only 128 teams, Division I. And now they're already at 136. Everything is about expansion.
Yeah, let's do it. We go to a story from the Associated Press for this one. We go to Bristol, Connecticut, home of ESPN. Firefighters had to rescue a man there. Police were called Sunday morning for a burglary complaint. They were told by parks employees that someone was in the chimney. This was at a Connecticut parks building. This was not a home. This was a Connecticut parks building. Firefighters responded to the scene got this man out after having removed parts of the chimney and building, which caused $5,000 to $10,000 worth of damage. The guy was not injured. He was arrested, charged with burglary, trespassing, and criminal mischief. He was released on bond. Here's the story. They said the man got stuck near the flue of the chimney, a building that was there inside the park. Locks on the doors of the bathroom were on new timers and automatically locked at 10 p.m. every night. They said that the man was trying to retrieve his dog from a bathroom when the doors automatically locked. So he wasn't supposed to be in this building. That's why it was burglary. But his dog, he was trying to get his dog out. What do you do?
I get
that. What are you going to call the cops and say, hey, by the way, I broke into this building. I need you to help me get my dog
my
out?
Dog out,
so
yeah.
He thought, hey, maybe I can go in this chimney.
He went Santa mode.
Get this dog out. And instead he got stuck. And so it all obviously backfired on him. What would you have done in that scenario if you knew you had broken in somewhere, but you had to get your dog out of this room?
It wouldn't have been the chimney. I'll tell you that. Wouldn't have been the chimney. It would have been other means to get into the building.
What would you have done? You just would have broken. I mean,
wait until
they said the bathroom doors were on automatic locks. I don't think you could just kick the door in.
I would have just waited it out.
Yeah, but that's how did the dog get stuck in there?
That's a great question itself too, but it wouldn't be a chimney.
It says the door can be opened from the inside after they are locked. Obviously, the dog not able to unlock the door.
The dog to
unlock Why did the door? Dog just unlock the door? Yeah, I mean, this would have solved this whole thing.
I would have waited it out.
The police officer said it's a bit of a crazy scenario. Our park staff is working with the police department, fire department, to make sure this doesn't happen again. If he had just contacted police in the first place, we might have been able to avoid the situation. So are you
saying...
It might
have been a better idea, actually.
Well, he caused $10,000 worth of damage. If he just would have been honest, like, hey, I think that they say the guy was homeless. No, I did not say that. I don't know. If he just would have been honest, said, hey, I wasn't supposed to be in here. I know it, but my dog's out. I need you to help me. And what would they give him? A little, small, little slap on the wrist kind of thing. I don't know.
I would assume
stealing
so.
Anything.
But there was definitely a better way. I would just call the police first. Would probably would have been better. Fireman would have been the best option. But he wasn't thinking clearly. Maybe he plays Santa in the offseason, right? And maybe he thought he could do it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a chimney before? You know?
No.
No? Okay. Just curious.
Even if you're playing Santa, you're not going in the chimney. Let's be honest.
Someone says the dog had to go to the bathroom, obviously. That's why he went in the restroom. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's weird places to take your dog. But you take your dog
out. My guess is he broke in. He had to use the restroom, the person. And then he shut the door and the dog was still in there. And then he was like, oh, bleep.
I wonder what kind of dog it was.
Does not say, Bink. Does it matter?
It does matter. Because some dogs can open doors.
Yeah.
They can. If they're big dogs. They can. Have you seen a dog open a door? I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've had I guess I say that, my dog's done that before, yeah.
See it?
I haven't. Not like it's not like she's
you
turned
the dog into opening
it hasn't
the door.
Unlocked the door. I'm sure it hasn't the turned
door
the knob.
Yeah, the door wasn't locked though for her to open the door.
Well, yeah, I know they don't have thumbs, but
yeah, my dog's open. Like if a door is closed and it's not locked, my dog's absolutely opened the door.
See,
before,
Drew,
but not locked.
Have the dog open the door.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Some very high praise for Patrick Mahomes, not just from Jay Binkley, but from the man that many consider to be the GOAT, and one stat that shows this offense has to get better in next here on Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. 1 hour from now, we'll talk some Royals baseball with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, as the Royals continue their homestand tonight against the Rays. Obviously, they have lost 8 in a row at Kauffman, 15 of 18. They have not won at Kauffman in the month of June. We'll get Vern's reaction. Bink, you were listening to him a little bit last night. You said he was not happy.
No.
We obviously will talk some Royals with him. We'll also talk Royals baseball right after what's trending coming up 30 minutes from now. But in the meantime, let's talk some Chiefs football. We mentioned Fanatics Fest was going on in New York, or I guess Brooklyn, I think, specifically. And you had the celebrity access at this event is crazy. And you have all these former athletes and some current athletes there. And it's an unbelievable thing. It's the second year they've done it. And they already announced they're going to do it in the Javits Center again in 2026. But Kevin Hart was there and he was doing his podcast, which it, what's the name of it? Is it's the one where they do it in the cold tub and he interviews people.
Cold as Balls, I think is what it's called. Okay. Where they basically sit at night they sit in ice
cold
baths.
Tub. Yeah. So
interesting.
Kevin Hart was talking to Tom Brady and Brady gave some very high praise for Mahomes.
Who do you feel has the biggest opportunity in today's game to possibly duplicate a version of history? Like, do you feel
Patrick?
Do you like Patrick?
Sure. Well, I just think Patrick, I love his mentality. And he's a guy that I see so... The great players that I played with, Patrick has their mentality.
Okay.
He has a will to win. He's got a desire every time he takes the field to be a great leader. And even more than his physical skill, what I always do with the guys is I listen to what they say all the time. I listen to what they say after they win. I listen to what they say after they lose. I listen to how they communicate to their teammates and stuff. So it's just everything he says is the right thing. It's like I think, okay, how would I answer that? And then he answers it in a very similar way. And that's what I really appreciate because I know he's really connected with his teammates. So he's got a great organization and he's got a great coach, great general manager, great ownership. And they've got the parts around him. So I think he still has the best.
I like that.
Succeed.
So that was Kevin Hart talking to Tom Brady. Brady obviously praising Mahomes, saying, like, that's the one guy that, you know, he thinks is closest to him in terms of a lot of factors, but his entire mentality. He said some similar comments like that before on a Fox broadcast as well. It's not the first time that we've heard Brady, you know, discuss Mahomes' mentality and how he thinks he answers a lot of the questions the same way that he does. But that was just a recent comment, and it was just funny because the video of it, they're just sitting in a cold tub. They're both shirtless, just sitting, and Brady, here he is, giving a serious comment about Patrick Mahomes.
In the tub. You like hearing that from Brady. You like hearing that from one of the Raiders' part owners.
True.
I mean, rival, you know, giving you praise, mm-hmm. but there you go. That's the answer there. Hope Sam Munson was listening to that. There's two guys.
But that's not.
It's Brady. I know.
But
it's
again,
not.
that was not the conversation before.
Who's got the best chance to catch you? I think
that
it is.
Not the combo.
I think it is Patrick Mahomes. To be honest with you, a few plays here and there, it should be a lot closer. Those rings, they could be very. Yeah. I think honestly,
head to head was such a big deal.
I think
man.
It was. I think honestly, a few plays here or there, they could be each tied at five.
Yeah, that,
right now.
The head-to-head.
I mean, that's impressive because that, and not only that, throwing the interception, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson at the one-yard line, saying that Marshawn, that gave Brady another ring. The D4 offsides, that gave Brady another ring. I just think we could be seeing this thing 5-5, and then there's not really a discussion because then Patrick's going to end up being the greatest of all time. I just think a few plays here or there, and clearly the head-to-head made the biggest difference. But, but I mean, they could easily be 5-5.
Look, Patrick Mahomes is incredible. He's the most gifted and best athletic quarterback, most athletic quarterback, everything we've seen in terms of all the tools, everything. And I tend to believe he's going to win two or more rings before his career is over on top of what he already has. I really believe that.
Would you say go to three, win two more?
Yeah, I think that's fair. But also, when you look at the conversation with him, to me, the whole convo about it had to have ended once he lost head-to-head, right? Like, we cannot pick up that conversation again until
except during the regular season, he rolled him.
That doesn't matter in that debate. Now, if Mahomes gets to five rings, maybe you can start to have the convo again if we're just talking about the grace of all time. But I think we have to be honest with ourselves. I know we're in Kansas City, but we have to be honest with ourselves. The head-to-head loss was devastating for this convo.
Flip the whole thing.
The chance to make it a wash, though, was last year. If you would have got the three-peat, something Brady never did, I would say that cancels out the head-to-head Super Bowl. And that to me, would have erased the issue that we have here in this convo, but they didn't. And so unless Mahomes can get to six or five, you can't even have that real convo about the GOAT. And that's, by the way, that is like, we're talking about literally the best. So you got to nitpick. You got to be specific. Would I rather have Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback than Tom Brady in their prime from a, hey, making the throws kind of thing, knowing the defense that Brady had and the defense that Mahomes hasn't had at times? I would choose Patrick Mahomes. I really would. But at some point, like, we can't just act like the head-to-head didn't happen. We can't act like three is close to six when we're talking about Super Bowl rings.
I'm telling you, a few plays here and there, it's a lot closer.
Yeah, but that means again, a few plays here and there, Dan Marino would have a ring if that was the case, too.
If Pete Carroll doesn't screw up at the one-yard line with the Seahawks where they threw the interception, Brady's got one less, right? I mean, I'm just saying, D4 offsides, keep this in mind. Brady won the coin toss. Patriots won the game. The rule wasn't changed.
I was at that game, yeah.
The rule wasn't changed until it happened to Josh Allen. They changed the rule. So sure. Mahomes never had a chance to go back out there like the new rule is. So Brady took advantage of that. The Chiefs got screwed on that deal. I'm just saying, that's two rings right there. I'm just saying, the whole thing could be a lot closer than what people really realize.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I would love for us to be sitting here in a year and talking about another opportunity to go back-to-back, which obviously has only been done a few times in NFL history and all that. But, you know, the ring conversation, which is basically what we're narrowing this down to, I mean, there's the reality of, you can't just say, well, it was if this happened, if that, we can do that for so many athletes in sports history, so many careers. Some guys would be Hall of Famers if one play happened and one didn't. If somebody didn't get hurt, then it changed. Like, we can play that game all day long, yeah, though, you know?
Luke Coach Haver doesn't get hurt. Wade Davis isn't the star.
Sure, so many things. We know that. You know that. I mean,
but more of the conversation here, actually kind of what he was saying, listens to what Patrick says before games and after games. And a lot of things is about saying the right thing at the right time. We talk about Anthony Richardson tapping out. Like, Mahomes would never say that. Again, you have to have guys buy into you and who you are. They have to want to come play with you. And not only that, when Patrick has that camp pat down in Texas, and those guys get to go down there, sure, that's a lot of value when they go in that football field. It's another value for them to eat together, hang out, play some video games together. It's one thing for Patrick Mahomes to play video games with rookies and second-year players when he's Patrick freaking Mahomes. He still does. He's one of the dudes. And that's one of the things they strive for in the combine. Is this guy one of the dudes or not? And coming in, a lot of people label Jaden Daniels more of the dude than Caleb. And clearly Caleb goes ahead of him, but a lot of people said, no, Jaden's the guy that kind of, you know, hangs around the teammates. They like to play for him, and they buy into what he's doing. And you saw the success. You saw it translated. That's a big thing in the NFL. How much do your teammates like you? I know we joke around a lot about combine. Well, nobody went to his birthday party or whatever. You know, they even make that joke with Russell Wilson. You know what, though? That stuff does matter. Do they like you or not? That's the question, because guys want to play with Patrick because he inspires them to come and be better, and he treats people like humans, and he'll go out and have a beer with guys. He'll go out and hang out. Joe Montana, as good as he was, he would, when the Chiefs were in River Falls, Wisconsin for training camp, he would take the linemen and stuff, and he'd go to Bozeman Mine in downtown River Falls and drink brew with the offensive linemen. Why? Joe Montana was one of the dudes. He was one of the guys cracking jokes in the huddle against the Bengals in the Super Bowl. Hey, there's John Candy in a crucial moment in the Super Bowl. He was pointing out fans in the stands. That's being one of the guys. As far as transcending football and what it means,
I have a question for you.
Besides who likes football or more, who do you want to play for? Like coaches, who do you want to run a wall through? And this is what they're trying to get with Mahomes when they're talking to other quarterbacks. How much do the other guys actually like you and want to play for you? Because that stuff matters.
I have a question for you, Bink. Do you think that Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT right now? Do you think Patrick Mahomes is, would you label him the GOAT over Brady right now?
No, it's still Tom Brady.
Okay.
But Brady had
I don't know how anybody can answer that question any other way.
Brady had the attributes that Mahomes does. Guys wanted to play with Brady. But they like to play with Brady. Brady humanized himself with the players.
Whether you are the GOAT or not, I don't think, again, this is a totally opinionated thing. It depends on what you value more. What you think is right is different than what Gold thinks is different than what I think. I think Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback than Tom Brady ever was already. I can tell you that right now.
We have made the GOAT conversation about rings. We as a society, unfortunately, have made it all about rings, and that's all that matters. That's the conversation that people have had with LeBron and Jay for 20 years.
I think he just kept getting better and better. They won both ways, which Patrick's kind of done that with defense, because the Patriots did that initially when they won their first Super Bowl. Won defense. When he had Randy Moss and Wes Welker, and he's putting up all those
yards, going now.
He never won
Bink's
a Super
out here
Bowl.
Telling River Falls stories. I mean, we're just rehashing stuff from 30 years ago.
No, Bink. I think the thing that's interesting is how much, and somebody mentioned it on the text line, how much it parallels the MJ LeBron debate. Because to me, if you think Tom Brady is the GOAT, then you think MJ is the GOAT. And that's just the way that it goes. It should be that way. Because I think the conversation is the exact same. Where if you think that Mahomes is the GOAT, then I think you think that LeBron is the best player to play because of all the other factors that factor into the GOAT conversation outside of just rings.
I agree with you. I think Mahomes has a lot of MJ. A lot of it.
No, he takes things personally. Patrick Mahomes is LeBron James in the conversation. He has less rings, but is arguably the better player.
I think he's more of MJ. I think Mahomes is more of MJ.
You're talking just his style and how he approaches
things.
That's
just the drive.
Drew's talking about like the actual debate.
I understand the conversation. The debate to me is Mahomes is MJ. He's not LeBron. He's MJ.
Then Mahomes wouldn't have lost in a Super Bowl, and Mahomes would have more rings.
Mahomes is completely the guy. Hey, I'm going to play sick. I'm going to play hurt. I'm going to do whatever to win the game. That was MJ.
Okay.
I take things personally. That was MJ.
Yes.
That's Mahomes.
Yes. Yeah. Again, it's fine. We don't have to keep going in circles on it. I think both are correct. I think we agree Mahomes has a lot of MJ similarities. Drew was just saying that in the conversation about rings and stuff, Mahomes would be LeBron in this scenario and Brady would be MJ. That's all he's saying.
Okay.
That's all he's saying.
I'm just looking at the personal characteristics.
I agree. Someone said I should just shut the mic off and let Bink just see how long Bink can go.
Honestly, I'm just going to put the
just
talk NBA draft again.
Drew told me during the he was saying though that you basically kick somebody out of the bathroom during the break. Is that true?
Nobody was in there.
So
I would have to kick somebody out, but nobody was in there.
Is that what got you fired up?
Nobody was in there.
Drew said you kick somebody out during the break.
You said I
need this bathroom.
Drew made that up.
Get out.
No. I opened the door and
the cleaning cart was out there, but nobody was in there.
The cleaning lady was in there, and he was like, "Oh crap, I gotta go." Like Bink was ready to Bink had to go. Regardless
of whether
she was
in there.
Bink said he was going to ask her to leave. I think it'd be okay if I could just go.
This is why Bink came back all fired up, because he already was like, basically was barging in. I mean, it was.
I didn't barge into anybody. Nobody was in there.
Unhappy.
Literally pissed my pants.
It sounds like you were pretty close, Bink.
Drew, nobody was in there. You're the one that chickened out and went downstairs.
All right, let's talk about something that I think was evident. You don't even almost need this stat. If you watched the Chiefs last year, you probably figured that this wasn't something that they did well. Warren Sharp, earlier in the week, we discussed his stat about third down opportunities. They were great on third down, but how many times they had third downs, right? The Chiefs were in the middle of the pack, 15th and 16th, I think, Eagles and Chiefs. Warren Sharp put out completions of 25 or more air yards, so deep passes down the field. The Chiefs had the second fewest.
Yeah.
Arizona and Miami tied for fifth, or had five of them. So
which is no excuse for Miami either. That kind
these
of
are completions, not attempts. These are completions down the field. Remember, for a while, Worthy and Mahomes could not get on the same page. Yep. You know, Worthy's stepping out of bounds. Mahomes was leading him out of bounds. It was a mess. The Chiefs only had six completions of 25 or more air yards last year. That puts them only in front of Arizona and Miami. That puts them behind Cleveland, who had seven. The surprise, I will say there were a couple surprises here. You think Detroit, big play offense through the air, right? But that the way they did it was a lot of yards after the catch, because Detroit only had eight completions of 25 or more yards down the field, air yards. That's kind of crazy. You would have thought there must have been more. The best team, if you're wondering, the Packers, had 22 of them. Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Pittsburgh probably surprises you with that answer, unless you think they're just throwing up to George Pickens.
No, that did surprise me. Indianapolis surprised me, and Tennessee surprised me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the middle, by the way, the middle of the pack would be if you had 11 or 12. Majority of the NFL had 11 to 12 completions of 25 more air yards down the field. If you want, once again, to be more explosive, if you want to vault yourself towards a top-tier offense for the most part, you got to have more of these. Six, can they double that? Can they have 12 of them? Think about it. You're not asking to have 20 of them like Green Bay. Can you go from having six completions, 25 or more air yards, to all of a sudden having 12. And we know who fits that. That's Hollywood Brown and that's Xavier Worthy. Those are the only two guys that are going to factor into this. You would agree? That's it.
100%, but they got this. It's one thing that some of these teams don't have. They have the speed to do it and the quarterback to do it. That's a frustrating thing. Miami, too, is a big surprise, too, because it's a ton of speed at wide receiver. They're not utilizing that speed. This is what this says. It's utilization of the speed that you have. That's why I've been more pumped up from what they have with Worthy coming back, and Brown knows the system. He knows Hurdy was there every day and knows it. But the Chiefs had the capability to jump way up in this. This shows you the line, too. This shows you not the time to throw it down the field. But this stuff opens up the running game and everything else. But with only six passes, completions of 25 air yards or more, the Chiefs had the capability to jump way ahead of this. They just didn't do it.
Last year, I mean, I'm sure you guys can as well. I can picture at least two of them to get them to eight. You know what I mean? Those Worthy plays early on in the year. I mean, there's two or three of those where all of a sudden they have nine and they're closer to the middle of the pack. The other part that helps here, it's not just Worthy and Hollywood Brown in terms of their speed down the field, but if Rashee Rice is available, his ability underneath to find space, that also is going to set something up down the field. As much as the running game can, I agree with you. But if Rashee Rice is the weapon that I think he can be underneath, in space. Travis Kelce, obviously, same thing. All of a sudden, over the top, you might have some opportunities that you didn't have last year.
I just think that's the biggest thing missing. And, of course, you understand why. Without Rice and Brown and these receivers. But you look at this in the offense. We talked about the third downs yesterday. But this is like the biggest thing that you would think would be changed this year. In St. Joe, you would have thought this would have been much higher watching what you did.
Oh, no question.
As you said that team saw bomb after bomb with this team.
I mean, isn't it the flip side? Like, I know you said that, like, the pass game will help out the run game, but isn't it also true where if you have an effective run game, that opens things up more where they ran the ball. They weren't, like, dead last in rushing attempts, but it wasn't like they were they didn't have, because Pacheco got hurt, Kareem Hunt just wasn't that type of back. They didn't have that explosiveness at running back where teams, not that they disrespected the Chiefs' run game, but they know the system that Andy runs. The running game wasn't that great anyways. They didn't respect the run enough. They didn't respect the run, where they'd run, as Mahomes would say it, you know, they'd run the shell defense all the time, and they would protect over the top because they knew that they could stop you with the four guys up front running the football. They didn't have to stop you.
No, it's a good point.
They didn't take anything else.
It's a good point, and it just shows when you start opening things up, though, you start backing those safeties off. When you're throwing that ball, when teams look at these stats, they look at the Chiefs aren't going downfield here. We'll creep up. We'll bring the safety up, and we'll hurt that intermediate game. We'll limit Travis Kelce's yardage. We can stop the running game because the Chiefs aren't going deep. They don't have the talent to do it right now because everybody's hurt. They're not doing it. I mean, the proof is right here. They weren't throwing downfield. And
I did think it was interesting, though, of the top five teams in this, how many were playoff teams in completions of 25 or more air yards? Packers, they were. Steelers were. Vikings were. Colts weren't. Chargers were. Cincinnati wasn't. So, you know, it speaks to the Cincinnati defensive problems. Obviously, the fact that they were there.
Were second?
Yep.
20. Yeah, and I'm guessing those were
moonballs.
Moonballs from
George Pickens, man.
Russell Wilson just throwing that bad boy up. And then Tennessee, surprisingly, too, was ahead of Philadelphia.
Very surprising.
Buffalo, Seattle, Denver, Vegas, Carolina. Tennessee was ahead of all those teams. And again, Kansas City, other than Arizona and Miami, they had the fewest completions of 25 or more air yards. All right, Chiefs Red Half Hour, of course, brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. I saw this come across from Fox 4. I think it's a story from Ohio, but Fox 4 at least aggregated it and had it here locally. But there was a contest around New Heights, right? We all know that's the podcast with the Kelce brothers. And they partnered up with an energy drink, and that's your territory, Bink. You got one right next to you today. I see you right over there.
Never had Accelerator, though.
And I guess it's called Accelerator. I'm not familiar with the brand either. And there was a contest and a deal that a man made. He got 25 cases of this energy drink and also a signed Travis Kelce jersey. But this guy named Nick Jones had to get a tattoo, and not just any tattoo. It's a partially nude Travis Kelce tattoo on his thigh. Okay? It's not small either. For those watching the video stream, I'll try to turn my laptop around. You can see it.
It is a big tattoo.
This is not a tiny tattoo. This is a big tattoo right on his thigh, and it's Travis Kelce basically on top of an energy drink can, partially nude. Bink, the question for you, my friend, is one, you're the energy drink guy. You've got tattoos all over. So
actually, no and no.
So you tell me, would you have done this?
I would not have done this. I would not have done this at all. This is embarrassing.
Is there anything? How did this guy agree to this for? He's not even getting much out of this. 25 cases of an energy drink. Who cares?
How about beer, Bink? 25 cases.
I wouldn't
of
even
beer.
Do it for that. No. This is
tattoos. It's an incredible tattoo.
But they have a half naked Kelce. I got a can. I mean, come on, man. Try to explain this one.
It's a pinup tattoo drawn by an artist there in Toledo, Ohio, and it depicts Travis Kelce clad in a pair of cleats, socks, and gloves, riding a can of Accelerator energy drink as it blasted off with fire shooting out of the bottom of the can.
Naked.
To sweeten the deal, he did get that, as I said, a Travis Kelce jersey. Who cares
about that?
Dude, this thing is on his thigh. I mean, it's up there.
It's like getting world champions and lose in the Super
is
Bowl.
Is this guy married? Do we know?
But he's
because
naked, Kelce.
How are you explaining this one to a partner? You've got Travis Kelce riding an energy can.
Well, I got a jersey.
I think you would, along with that, you'd also have to meet Travis. Like, Travis would have to be there himself, and you would have to do like a meet. You'd have
he
to meet
oh, I'm
Travis.
Sure he did.
He didn't get enough at all for this trade-off. Like, did he just want to go viral? 25 cans at a cases in a jersey
to
get
viral.
You need to at least meet
right
Travis, I think.
He wanted to go viral, 100%.
I mean,
And was he drunk when he agreed to it, even though they won't do tattoos when you're drinking? But you question.
Drew, you got a couple tattoos. I guess I should ask you more than Bink.
No.
If Joe Burrow was riding a can of energy drinks and you could get a signed Burrow jersey and he would shake your hand and hug you.
He would do it.
Would you get a tattoo of Burrow anywhere on your body?
No.
He would do it.
You sure? You've got how many tattoos do you have?
Well,
I know the one behind. Yeah, the one. Well, I see two of them.
Six.
Oh, that's one.
He would do this.
You have some hidden?
No. I mean, there's
the one on your right butt cheek.
No.
Your tramp stamp.
I do not have anything there. But I've got six. Stamp. I would not. I'm not getting anybody's face on my body.
What about a naked bro?
Someone says if the tattoo's paid for, they'd absolutely do it. Well, the tattoo was paid for.
This is embarrassing.
That's not a good enough trade-off at all.
This is embarrassing.
That tattoo also probably costs, like in terms of the cost of it, it's probably like $300.
Someone on the text line brings up a good point. They said, judging by Bink's last 50 minutes of talking about Mahomes this hour, they said you would absolutely do it if it was Mahomes' tattoo.
No, I wouldn't. No one. Yeah.
Text line skeptical of Drew. Oh, please. Drew would have every single Cincinnati player tattooed on him like that old Yankees man that has all the Yankees tattoos.
He would. He'd put Burrow on his face.
No.
So Kelsey riding a can of garage beer for the 25 cases of that, you're saying.
No. We're good.
Is there I was thinking about this pre-show with you guys. Dollar amount wise, is there a dollar amount? For this exact tattoo, it would have to be over $100,000 easily. Easily. And you're like, oh, come on, you do it. I'm serious.
Life-changing money.
It would have to be $100,000 for me to get this exact tattoo on
tax
my thigh.
$100,000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I got it. So, yeah, I got to clear $100. I got to clear $100. Is there a dollar amount? Would you do it for less?
No.
Someone said you could just cover the tattoo up. Sure.
You definitely be doing that. So. But I think 100 is pretty thin too, man. I'm serious, man.
$100,000 is the starting price for me to get a tattoo.
I'd probably
like that.
Be That's half it. Million.
Half million?
To get this. I think Kelsey mounting an energy can? No. I can do it,
on
man.
Your thigh.
That's self-importance, man. I mean, that's...
This guy did it for, I don't know what, like...
Of?
This guy did it for like $500.
Humping an energy drink.
This guy did it for basically $500 worth of energy drinks and, you know, a jersey valued at maybe $1,500
Taylor
or something.
Taylor Swift wouldn't even do this.
Well, obviously not. Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying.
Drew would, though.
So like, would I do it for $90,000? No, I just said no. It has to be at least $100,000. Any tattoo, you guys know I'm not, so to get any, even if it was a small tattoo, not even a weird one like this, it would have to be at least a five plus figure type of deal for me to agree to that.
For any tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it would stand out with you because you're not a tattoo guy.
And yeah, people it has be to curious, be over 10K.
Hey, what's under your tattoo? Oh, it's naked Kelsey humping an energy drink. Like, you would have to explain this the rest of your life.
Excellent. So that reminds me of the guy that got the champ stamp. Remember that? The whole champ
stamp. I think this is
worse.
This is worse.
I mean, it is a massive tattoo of Travis Kelce riding an energy drink right on his thigh. Naked.
Someone said from the 816, if Jay starts suddenly wearing pants to work, you know he got the tattoo.
Yeah.
True.
So the tattoo has a lot of red in it, so they said it'd be easy to cover up. I mean, yeah, he can pay to get it removed even if he wanted to. It's just this guy's not getting any money for this. He just did it, like you said, to go viral. All right. That's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get Bink scheduled for a tattoo appointment at some point for some ink here in a little bit. Up next, what's trending? And we'll talk more about some potential trade options for the Royals, both as sellers and as buyers, right here on Cody and Gold.